rather. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll start at verse 24. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Before we dive into the word, I'll go ahead and pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the people that are here. Thank you for the blessings you've given us so far, Lord, and I pray and ask so that you would be with us and be with me as I preach your word. I pray and ask so that you cleanse me from my heart, cleanse my mind, help me to be a vessel pliable to your use. And I pray and ask, Lord, that you would just use me and help me to do what you called me to do. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. If you are able to stand, I would like you to stand so that we can read the word of God in honor and reverence to the word of God. And verse 24 says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." With the help of the Lord, I will be preaching on this morning the blood of Jesus, or simply the blood. You may be seated. Verse 24 says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant." Well, what is the new covenant? The new covenant simply is Jesus' blood was shed for all mankind, so that we all may believe on him and receive salvation. That is the new covenant. The old covenant stated that you had to have daily sacrifices. These daily sacrifices had to be a spotless sheep, a spotless lamb, and they would kill this lamb as a daily sacrifice for their sins. That was the old covenant. But now the new covenant, Jesus paved the way for all. Amen. He was the only sinless man that walked the face of this earth. And therefore, the new covenant is basically on Jesus' blood that he shed for us at Calvary. So the blood of Jesus, or the blood, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. There is no salvation without the blood of Jesus. Salvation is free because Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
In Leviticus 17:11, if you wouldn't like to turn there, I'll turn there with you. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. When I was reading and studying this out, it said the abbreviations for Leviticus was LVI, and I'm like, what is LVI? That is no book of Levi. So when I got over here, I said, oh, I forgot about Leviticus. So Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood."
Yep.
"And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." The first point I would like to make today is the ground of atonement. The ground of atonement. In this verse, the Bible says, "For the life of the blood," the life of the flesh is in the blood, colon, "and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls," colon, "for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul." There's three things I'd like to point out in this verse. And the first one is a fact of science, and the second one is a fact of history, and the third is a fact of theology. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, colon. There's no dispute that that's a fact of science. Without blood, you cannot live.
No.
Without blood, you cannot live. I got one amen off that. So one person agrees. So without life, we cannot survive. Without blood, we cannot survive. This is the fact of science. George Washington died because they drained his blood.
That's right.
He was a sick man. And so doctors believed that if they took his blood out, because that's what they thought was making him sick, then he would be better. But they killed him by accident.
That's right.
They killed George Washington by draining his blood. And it's the Bible is written over 2,000 years ago, and if doctors would simply pick up the Bible and read it, it says right here, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Without blood, we cannot live." The next point I would like to point out is a fact of history. There's no doubt that Jesus died on the cross for us. There's no doubt. If you went to Jerusalem and said that Jesus of Nazareth, was he here? Did he preach and did he walk these streets and preach the gospel? I'm pretty sure everyone, every Jew in Jerusalem would tell you yes. If you ask, was Jesus crucified? They would say yes. Mm-hmm. If you ask them where, they would point to the highest place in Jerusalem, a place called Calvary. He was crucified at a place called Calvary. And at Calvary, that's the highest point in the city. They would tell you that yes, Jesus was crucified at a place called Calvary. It's a fact of history in this verse. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. So what is atonement? Atonement is simply a cover. Atonement is simply covering of our souls. Jesus shed his blood to cover our souls.
Man.
And the last point I would like to point out in this verse is a fact of theology. Theology. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is only by the blood that covers our soul that we are able to go to heaven. Without that, without the death of Jesus Christ, there was no hope for any of us. So the first point is the ground of atonement. Ground of atonement. And now we can move along to the ground of redemption. But before we move along to the ground of redemption, let's focus on the blood a little bit. And the fact of science. The blood, we have red blood cells and we have white blood cells. Our red blood cells keep us, they move oxygen. Our red blood cells keep oxygen, they give us strength, they give us vitality. Our blood is constantly moving through our body. Our blood is moving right now as I'm up here. The blood is also moving as you guys are sitting down. The blood moves through everything in our body. It's moving
right
through our extremities, our fingers, everything. The blood is mobile. The blood gives us life, gives us strength, gives us vitality. The white blood cells, they lay dormant. And the only time that the white blood cells come alive is when you get a cut or an infection. The white blood cells rush to that area and they heal that area.
Right.
And I was reading this and going over this. I'm like, man, white blood cells. White is a symbolism of purity.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that was pure or sinless in our time was Jesus.
Right.
And that's what Jesus can do to each and every one of us. He can heal us only if we ask him. Only if we are his child. That's what he can do for us. We have red blood cells, white blood cells, and the white blood cells heal. That is the ground of atonement, a covering for our souls. Next, we're going to move along to the ground of redemption. A ground of redemption. What are you talking about, preacher? Being redeemed. What is redemption? Redemption is the action of saving or being saved or being saved from sin or evil. Redemption, the action of saving or being saved from sin or evil. And we see this in 1 Peter 18 and 19. I'll turn there with you. 1 Peter, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says, well, we're talking about a ground of redemption. We can be redeemed with the blood. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I already touched on this earlier. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. He was born of a virgin. And through God, he sent Jesus for us. The blood here is precious. The blood of Jesus is precious to me. The blood of Jesus can do many things for us and many things for you. For someone, if you ask me why the blood is precious, is I can tell you it saved me from a sinner's hell. That's why the blood is precious to me. That's the only thing that can help them get us to heaven. That's salvation right there in itself. The blood is precious to me. You say, well, why is this a man's blood? Something else I picked up when I was reading this out. My daughter may look like My wife, she may act like my wife, because I don't have blue eyes, but she has blue eyes. My daughter does have blue eyes. But when you, if you look at her, you'd be like, man, that she looks kind of like Danielle. But whose blood runs through her veins? Does anyone know? Her daddy's blood runs through her veins. And who blood ran through Jesus?
Blood of the Father.
God, exactly. That's whose blood ran through Jesus. That's why the blood is precious and should be precious to us, because it was God's blood. It was God manifested in the flesh. It was his blood that covered the atonement, that made the atonement for our souls. It was the precious blood of Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He was precious. Everything about him was precious. And when you have salvation and when you trust the Lord and you have the blood cover your souls, then you can be near to God. And once you are near to God, the blood can keep you near to God. Yeah. The blood is precious. The blood can keep you near to God. The blood can also, it blots out sin. The yeah. blood can blot out sin. You say, well, you know, I don't have any sin. Well, you're a liar. The Bible says so.
Amen.
We all have sin to come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
There's no one here that's perfect.
Yep.
I sin every day. My sin may not be the same as yours, and yours might not be the same as mine. We all have our different struggles.
Yep.
We all go through life differently. We all have different things that we face. We all have different things that we battle. No one is perfect. The blood blots out sin. The blood keeps you near to God. The blood is precious. What else can the blood do? The blood can give you peace.
Yeah.
The blood can give you peace. I've heard a man tell me one time, he was 2008-2009 when the recession happened. He said they called him in the office and they sat him down and said, your position is being terminated. And so he said the first thing he thought about was his wife, and he thought about his two kids, and then he thought about, well, what am I going to do now? And at that particular time, he didn't know what he was going to do, and he started freaking out up here in his mind and in here in his heart, because he knew he was the sole provider of that family. He was the sole provider of that family, and he started to panic. He started getting in panic mode. And you know what he told me? He goes, man, he goes, I sat there and they were talking to me. They said that to me and it hit me. So all of a sudden I got peace. I got peace. And he said, well, it was the awkwardest thing he had ever, and he couldn't describe it. Want to know why he couldn't describe it? Because the blood of Jesus gives you peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
That's what the blood of Jesus can do. It can give you peace. I had lost my job a year ago. And I was walking around the building shaking hands with everybody because I had peace. I knew me and my family were going to be okay. I knew God was going to take care of us. I believe it was God's will for me to lose that job. I believe it was his will. Just for me to be a testimony and a testament of the people there and help them come closer to God. Use me, Lord. Use me as a tool. Use me to help you bring people closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
The ground of redemption, the precious blood, can keep you near to God. It'll blot out your sin. It give you peace, and it also purges. You say, what is a purge? We've all seen the movies of Purge, haven't we? The movie The Purge. The blood of Christ purges. Gets rid of unwanted feeling, memory, or condition. That's what the blood of Christ does. It purges. The blood of Christ purges the unwanted feelings, the unwanted memories, or an unwanted condition out of your life. The blood of Christ can purge the things that are in your mind that tell you you shouldn't be preaching, or you shouldn't be teaching this Sunday school class, or you shouldn't help this person, you shouldn't help that person. That is a lie from hell itself.
Yep.
That is a lie of Satan. And Satan will use anything he can to bring a child of God down. Someone that's been washed in the blood, Jesus will try and, Satan will try and bring you down. That's what he does. He doesn't want us to succeed.
Nope.
If you think for one second that Satan wants us to do what we're doing today, you got it backwards, friend. Mm-hmm. This is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. We are on a battleground. This is something that is taken seriously, should be taken seriously when it comes to the blood of Jesus.
Come on.
What else the blood of Jesus can do? It can keep evil spirits away. I've been in places, and I remember one time I was laying in bed and I was about to get up to go to work, and I couldn't move. This is, had never happened to me. I move my arm, I'll say, okay, maybe my arm's asleep. So I try to move this arm, and nothing happened. Try to move my leg. I was like, okay, maybe my whole body's asleep. This is how naive I am. So then I tried to get up. Couldn't get up. And the more I tried to get up, it felt like something was pushing me down. The more I tried to get up, it felt like something was on top of me, pushing me down in the bed. And then I didn't know what to do. So I tried to call out for help. The more I tried to yell, the less anything started to come out of here. It scared me. It scared me. I didn't know what to do. You know what I started doing? Because I heard someone say this before. They said, well, plead the blood of Jesus. When you're in a situation and you don't know what's going on, you don't know what's going to happen, try it. Plead the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't want to be there, but when it has happened, plead the blood of Jesus. So that's what I started doing. And by the third time I said it, I jumped out the bed and I was able to talk. And it was amazing. I had never experienced anything like that in my life. Another story I heard, someone told me to go, I was sitting down and I was praying. Someone called me on the phone. They said, pray for me. I really need your help. And so as this woman began to pray, she said, when they got to her name, this person that called her, when they got to her name and when they started praying for them, she felt something grab her neck. And she said it felt like two hands wrapped around her neck and started squeezing her neck, and she couldn't say nothing. And therefore, you know what she did then? She started pleading the blood of Jesus. That woman was my mom. She told me, son, if you ever get into a situation and you can't talk or you can't move or you can't do anything, plead the blood of Jesus. She told me that, and I never will forget it. And that when you plead the blood of Jesus, it'll send that evil spirit away. It'll send that evil thing in your life away. It'll purge those things out of your life. When you plead the blood of Jesus, that's exactly what it'll do. The blood of Jesus is precious. It'll keep you near to God. The blood of Jesus blots out our sin. It forgives us of our sins. When you ask God, what did I do? If you ask him forgiveness, he can't tell you what you did because he's forgotten what you've done. He's forgiven. It's under the blood.
Yeah.
It blots out sin. It gives you peace. It purges. It also is a present thing. Mm-hmm. The blood of Jesus is a present thing.
Thanks,
it's here
Lord.
Today and will be here forever. The blood of Jesus is it's a present thing. All many of us can say, I got up this morning because of Jesus, or I am living today because of Jesus. My friend Ricky back here, he's living today because of Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm living here today because of Jesus. My wife is here today because of Jesus. We are here because of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can keep Satan at bay is the blood of Jesus. And also, it's not only a present thing, but it can cleanse. It can clean you up. It can get those things out of your life that don't need to be in your life. I've met many friends, or I had friends, and they say, no, I'm battling with this, or I'm struggling with this. Years have gone past, nothing has changed, but you know what happened? If they accept salvation and it's under the blood, it cleanses their life. They get rid of alcohol, they get rid of cigarettes, they get rid of going out. They don't want to do those things no more because they are a new creature in the Lord. The blood of Jesus cleanses us.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does it cleanse us, it's a present thing. And by it being a present thing, it can purge. It purges, it gives you peace, it blocks out sin. Keeps you near to God because it is the blood of God. It's precious. It works. The blood works. The blood still works. It's a present thing that's going to work today. It's going to work tomorrow. It's going to work yesterday.
Yeah.
It's only the blood that works. Dr. Phil can't help you. Oprah can't help you. They can give you advice, but it ain't going to work. You don't know why? Because the blood works.
Amen.
That's what you need. Before, I don't have nothing against a 5-10-step program. I have nothing against that. Sometimes it helps people. But the first step should be turning towards Jesus.
Yes.
Turning towards the blood. The blood of Jesus works. The blood of Jesus works. It'll cleanse you. It's a present thing. It purges. It gives you peace. It blots out sin. Keeps you near to God. And it's precious. This is a ground of redemption. The ground of redemption, the blood is our grounds of redemption. Next, let's move along to the ground of reconciliation. We talked about the ground of atonement, a ground of redemption, and a ground of reconciliation. And you say, what is reconciliation? Well, reconciliation is restoration of our friendly relations. That's what reconciliation is making things right. Healing a broken relationship. I haven't experienced this now, but I think that one day I will. Aubrey may want to do her own thing in life, and I may try and, you know, try and make things better. And our relationship may become broken at one point. My relationship with my parents had become broken at one point. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And so one day, I went to my dad, and I was struggling with life. I was struggling with which direction to go. I was drinking. I was on drugs. And I remember telling my dad, I opened up to him and said, you know I haven't talked to you in a while, but can you just loan me some money? And as much as he probably didn't want to loan me some money, he did it anyway. He was right with God, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, God don't go nowhere. God is right here. And we know what we do sometimes? We do this.
Yep.
So now I'm not with God. God can be there, and I'm down here doing what I want to do, living how I want to live. Reconciliation. Wow. Healing a broken relationship. I preached 2 weeks ago. I gave you guys a sermon about blindness. I was blind to the own bitterness that was in my heart. I had turned my back on God. Where was God? God was right here. Where was I? I was over here. Yeah. I wouldn't talk to him unless I needed something. But ain't it good to know that he's always there when you need him?
Amen.
And if you need him, don't be afraid. Okay, just because you haven't been living right, don't ask God for nothing. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of Satan. He don't want you talking to God.
Yeah.
And that's something he'll put in your head. Oh, you haven't been living right. You haven't been doing this. Don't talk to God. He ain't got time for you. He's doing this. He's doing that. That's not right. That is not right. Talk to your dad. And if my daughter came to me and she knew I was upset with her, and she came to me and asked me for something, and because of how she's been living, I know she hasn't been living right, I'm still going to talk to her. It's my daughter.
Yeah.
Same thing with Bonnie and Bonnie. I mean, just because, you know, I know you don't, but I'm just saying, if she had gone somewhere or done something, she's going to come back to her mom if she need help or her dad. Her parents ain't gone nowhere. It's still her parents. God is still our Father. These are grounds of reconciliation. The blood can reconcile. He can make things right. He can heal a broken relationship.
Yeah.
The grounds of reconciliation. Also, the blood can only make things right. God gave his own son on the cross. The blood of Jesus was God's initiative to reconcile, establish peace with man. In 1 Colossians 1:20, I'll turn there with you. There is no 1 Colossians.
Yeah.
The book of Colossians. I think it's that New James Version. So the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 20. The word of God says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. I just talked about peace in the last point.
Mm-hmm.
By him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We'll go to 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He has made things right for you by giving his son on the cross.
Right.
In the body of his flesh through death, talking about Jesus, to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight. God has given his son for us to be reconciled. He has given his son so that we may have the gift of reconciliation. Sometimes you wonder, well, okay, how can this person cannot forget me for this? Or how can this person not make our relationship back right again? Well, first, maybe they've never known reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't know what that is. Maybe they are blind to the fact that they do need to reconcile. And sometimes when people are not saved, you find it that they can't reconcile. You know, and God has given us, you know, his son on the cross. And so God doesn't move, nor does he change. He is always there for us. He is always there for us. We have reconciliation through the blood and peace through the blood. Grounds of reconciliation. Grounds of reconciliation. The blood of Jesus. The blood is everlasting. The blood of Jesus is everlasting. In Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
What are we talking about today? Blood of Jesus. The blood. What can it do for me? What can it do for us? It can keep you near to God. It blots out sin and gives you peace. It can purge out the things in your life that don't need to be there. It's a present thing. It cleanses. It works. That's what the blood of Jesus can do. It can help you to forgive others that you have in trouble to forgive. The blood of Jesus is there for all of us. And this was a very short sermon. And I have two questions. And one of those questions is, is the blood precious to you? Is the blood precious to you? And the other question is, have you been washed in the blood? Have you been washed in the blood? Will you all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, as the music plays, if you would like to come and pray? The altar is always open. You would never bother me if you came to the altar while I was preaching.
The same.